Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Crown Talking Trum and Words That Work. Pastor Armstrong is unavailable this evening, and he asked for me to step in for him this evening. So I am here. My name is Sandra. I'm his eldest child. And I also have his cohort. Ms. Cunningham, are you there?
I am. Nice to meet you, Sandra. Sonia or Sandra?
It's Sandra, S-O-N-J-A.
Okay, Sandra. Okay. I'm here.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. We can bounce off of each other.
Okay. He said he told me that he was his silent host. The silent assistant was going to be here, something like that. He said, I thought, huh? He said, you know I'm talking about you. I said, okay.
So, yes, he told me. I said, okay, all right, well, I guess a little bit about me. I'm, like I said, his eldest child, and I live in Texas. I know he's in North Carolina, so he calls me every now and again whenever he needs somebody to fill in for him, for his radio program, and it's normally like an hour or two before where he gets cut off and can't get away.
It's good
where
that
we're
you
going.
Stepped in, though. Yeah.
I wanted to, because he told me that it's about words, how words are used to evoke meanings, feelings, emotions towards other people, towards our God, just how words are used.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at Proverbs 18:20-21, and okay, this is the New International Version. And it reads, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. The harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Amen.
I don't know if you guys have used this verse or not. But it spoke to me profoundly.
Amen.
As a young adult, we didn't even say as a child. My parents have always taught us that we're supposed to tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
No matter what it is, you're supposed to tell the truth and deal with the outcome of the truth. Because if you have to tell something other than the truth, then the outcome is going to be that much worse. So that's the way we were raised, me and my brothers, to tell the truth. Well, I was very blunt as a young adult.
Sounds familiar.
You
I was blunt too, still am.
and being blunt, a lot of my friends, they would say, Sandra, you know, you are so blunt. You didn't have to say it that way. You didn't have to put it that way. because it hurt my feelings. I was like, really? Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I was just telling you the truth. You know, well, what do you think of this color of my hair? Yeah, no. You do not need that crayon color in your head. I mean, that's my bluntness, you know. No, we're not going through the crayon box, no, for hair color. Mm-hmm. Let's stick with the traditional hair colors, okay? Brown, blonde, black, you know. And they would be like, Dad, really? I was like, well, I was just being honest, truthful about it. But I had to sit back and take a look at it because a lot of my friends told me the same thing, not just one, not just two, but a lot of them. And they would sit me down and, you know, say how badly I hurt their feelings. And I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. So in Proverbs 18:21, it says the tongue has the power of life and of death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I am that person. I am that loving person. I don't try to hurt anybody. I don't try to harm anybody. I try to be faithful to the Most High, faithful in relationships. I'm not that person to go around and do that, but I was hurting people all with the words that came out of my mouth. And I didn't even realize it, and I was hurting the people that I loved. And I had to sit back and think, okay, I don't want to lie. They're like, no, you don't have to lie. It's just
the delivery
words that you use. Exactly. the way you deliver them and the way you, I mean, instead of saying, we're not going to do the crayon color book, I could have reversed it and did it positive and said, well, you know, I think a more natural look would look better. And that would have been like, oh, okay, well, what do you mean natural? I've been like, oh, you know, the natural browns and reds, you know, things like that would look a whole lot better on you. Something along that. Instead of focusing on the negative, focus on the positive. People will receive it when you focus on the positive, then you when you focus on the negative, when you're trying to convey something to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm always trying not to offend. And almost everything I do, I try not to offend. And there are times when I just can't help but to offend. But some of that is not us. Some of that is the person receiving it also.
Exactly.
They have to, so like the beginning part of it, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to love it first. Before you can be filled with it, you have to understand it first before you can be filled with it. And I have to be able to convey that to you in a way that you understand it, in a way that you love it, to show how I love it, and for you to grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't show how I love it, how loving and kind it is, how can I expect you to see it?
Exactly.
So my words have to be empowering, have to be enlightening, have to show light on the subject. Brian, I mean, shone bright like a diamond from Rihanna's song.
Yeah.
So that God's word can go to everybody. And even everybody is not the same. You can't talk to somebody that is that has no home the same way you talk to somebody that goes home to a mansion. Their outlooks are different. Their needs are different.
Exactly.
Their vocabulary may even be different. And a lot of times here lately, their vocabulary may be the same because there's a lot of us that have gone through college and have bachelor's, master's, associates, and doctors, and they're on the street.
Yeah.
Have no job. And, you know, just one more payment and one more missed payment, and they don't have a place to live.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't know what happened. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, you don't know what caused them. Was it lack of wisdom? Was it lack of, did you lose a job? Or, I mean, you don't know. You don't know a person's situation unless they tell you.
Exactly. And they're not going to tell you unless you're giving them a loving word.
That's right. And I talked about that scripture even this morning, death and life being in the power of the tongue. As I ministered this morning, it came out. Because we're either speaking life to situations or we're speaking death to situations.
Right. Right.
Yes. And as believers and knowing the word, and because I talked about meditating on the word, it's so important. That's important for us as believers. We have to meditate on the word and get a, you know, clear understanding of what it's actually saying in order for us to be able to know what promises to hold on to so we can get them, so we can share them with others. And kind of within the message, that particular passage of scripture came out, which it comes out a lot, I think, when I talk, when I'm sharing. But it's so good because I even thought about it, thinking about words that work tonight. Knowing it, I said, okay, I got a phone call, but I said, I need to get off so I can get on, because she was like right at 6 o'clock. I said, I need to get off the phone because I need to get on a call. I said, sometimes I say something and sometimes I don't. I said, so I really need to show up tonight. So she said, oh, okay, all right, we'll finish conversation later. I said, yeah, we'll finish conversation later. So, yeah, so this is good. This is good.
Yeah. It is interesting. My middle brother, when we were younger, he had a hard time believing in a God because he couldn't see it, feel it, touch it, smell it.
Yeah.
He had a really, really hard time believing in it. And the older he got, the more he was like, man, I don't know. But what started him believing, or what helped him along his journey, was reading. Reading the word and understanding the word. And not just the Bible, but in our house, we always had the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah, the Jewish Bible, the Islamic Bible. So we were able to read all of those, and sometimes reading more than one gives you a better understanding, because all of us are worshiping a higher power, a supreme being.
Amen.
A Allah, a Jehovah.
Elohim, Yahweh.
Elohim, Yahweh.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have a scripture that has the Hebraic names as well. It talks about Torah, the Torah instead of the law. It's the Torah. That's what it originally was, period, anyway, until man got involved.
Right.
Start changing and coming up with all these different translations. And yeah, so
yeah,
I'm there.
And again, words that make us change what we see in life and what we see or what we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can definitely build a person up, but you can most definitely tear a person down just
by
the words that you speak.
Mm, most definitely.
It's not hard to do either, but it is so much easier to build people up.
Exactly.
Than to tear them down.
Yes, it is. Amen.
You have to work
through it. It does something. Yes. It does something not only for them, but really when you're doing that, it helps you. You know, it helps you. It's not that, you know, you feel good about yourself because you're, some people think that tearing somebody down makes them, but they really, that don't really make them feel better. It really doesn't, because they're dealing with that. And there was another passage of scripture that came to me in reference to this. It was coming out of the book of Matthew. And Matthew and the Messiah, he was speaking these words in the, you know, King James Version is read, of course. So we know that he was speaking these words, and it's Matthew 12. I'm going to go ahead and read two verses, 36 and 37. And I'm going to read them from the Amplified Version. It said, "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inappropriate, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced." So our words make a big difference. So we're going to be judged by them, just like the scripture in Proverbs saying, you're going to eat the fruit of it. If you speak life, you're going to have life. If you speak death, you're going to have, I believe we speak things into existence. We can be speaking about even our own personal situations, whether it's our health, our finances. It doesn't matter what it is. So a loved one, we can be speaking either life or death over them. Our words have power, especially as believers. We're set apart ones. We're holy ones. We're the righteousness of the Father. So our words have power. You know, we've been anointed, we've been appointed, and our words are full of power. So when we speak them out, we're speaking either life or death. I just believe that to situations and circumstances. So, and this right here kind of puts a piece of some icing on top of the cake that confirms that we're going to be judged by what we're saying and what we're saying to people. So, you know, I'm one of those type persons like you. I've always been bold and been able to speak, but it's been done over the years. It's been, and I was always like that and didn't realize it because I've always been one kind of to myself. I didn't have a whole lot of people around me, and I'm still like that. I love people, but I guess the way that the Father has me to protect the anointing or whatever, the calling on my life or the chosen call on my life is part of how I have to protect myself, my spirit. So, but I've always been one that kind of, when you said, you know, you just spoke up, you spoke out, you were bold. I've always been bold and people would tell me that and I wouldn't see it. But over the years, I see where it's been seasoned and it comes so naturally that I do it with love. But I'm telling you the truth, and love is in the thing. It's in it. It's in the equation. Mm-hmm. And that boldness, I see the Holy Spirit has fine-tuned it, and it just comes naturally. I just correct something and without even thinking about it. So I feel you in that arena. I understand the boldness, but and the just being outspoken, so to speak. And that's to me, that's a gift as well. That can be, it can be fine tuned if it's out of order or gets out of order. We just have to submit it over you know, to the Holy Spirit. So,
yeah, I don't see it enough. Yeah.
That's okay. Mm. I
But you remind me of myself when you said that.
Oh, well, then you are awesome, though.
Huh?
I said no, cause you then you are definitely awesome.
Well, it's the Most High who's the awesome one. I'm just a vessel for Him. Yeah, he's the awesome one. Yes, amen.
Yeah,
amen. Well, I know.
Yeah. I know Apostle talk about his daughter. I'm glad I got to hear your voice. Got to hear you. He talked about his daughter. He talked about his son. Yeah, talk about his grandson, Cameron, and
oh,
Gracie.
My
mother's name was Gracie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
I know. He has always incorporated us into any speaking engagement, especially when he's
That's
in
good.
The pulpit. He
yeah.
always...
That's good.
Brings it full. Mm. And to me, one of the things that I've always strived to look for somebody, a pastor or a minister that's like my dad, because he didn't just preach at you. He actually taught you. And he made you understand
Amen.
That, hey, I go through the same things you go through. I have
mm-hmm.
kids. I have a wife. I have to deal
mm-hmm.
with the same thing you deal with every day.
Yeah.
So I want to make it plain. You know, I go through this, and this is how we can get through it easier. And this is how
Amen.
God said we should be doing this. So that
That's
it'll make
right.
it easier on all of us.
Yeah.
So
Amen.
When my dad had a church, that's the way he preached. And I've always... Mm. Even his church, I've always looked for that. And I've found that in some of the preachers. But in most of them, no, I didn't find that on something that
yeah.
I had to go.
Yeah, yeah, because you wouldn't get fed like you needed to be fed. You needed to be taught. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I was not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we there's been so much going on in this world today, and so many people
yeah.
are so afraid of the things that are going on. We can just look
mm-hmm.
at just recently with the banking industry. Everybody is afraid that, oh, I'm never going to get my bank is going to go under, and I'm not going to get my money, whatever money I have in there, they're going to take. I can only tell people, you know, you should never have to worry about money. You should never have to worry about what was given to you by God. If it was given to you by God, then nobody else can take it away from you.
That's right.
It has never, but you notice just by the words that have been coming out on the news and the newspapers and this person speaking, that person speaking, it just made this, like, domino effect. This bank went under, this bank is going under, this bank is going under.
Yeah.
All because of the words that are being spoken. And I'm
yeah.
like, well, if you guys would stop speaking this into existence, then it would not be.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
And I don't mean that the banks wouldn't go under, because if they're doing wrong, if they're doing the wrong things by the people, yeah, they should go under. But you would never feel the fear. You would never have that fear. You could look at that and say, okay, you know what? I'm not afraid of that. I'm good. The Most
yeah.
High said he's always going to take care of me. No matter what
That's
I do,
right.
no matter, you know, what I go through here, he never told me that being here, giving me life, I wasn't going to have some trying moments. He never said that I wasn't going to have some emotional hardships. He never said I wasn't going to have to be healed physically, mentally, spiritually.
Exactly.
But what he did say was that he was always going to be there.
Amen.
And that we could always lean on him no matter what. He's always going to be there.
That's
right. So whether we're leaning on him, walking next to him, or he's carrying us, he's still there.
Amen.
No matter what we go through.
Amen.
And that's
that
what
so
I try to get across.
So
that's what I try to get across to so many people. Right now, I'm not working, but when I was a store manager for a convenience store, gas station. And
oh, okay, your father told me that.
To.
But so you're not working now. I remember him telling me when you were doing that. So that's been recent.
Yeah. Yeah. At the beginning of the year, I decided that I wasn't going to go back. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, but while I was there, I had so many young kids come through my store as customers or employees, and I have heard from some of the craziest things to some of the more in-depth, make you want to cry situations. And each and every time I keep telling them, baby, you have to understand that God is always with you, no matter what.
Right.
And you have to also understand that he has prepared this road for you. He's already got you through this. It's you standing on this side of the wall. All you had to do was ask. Seek, knock,
That's right.
It'll all be given to you. So, but you got to do something, you know. You have to speak the words.
I bet
you
missed that, though.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that I enjoyed about my job. My significant other, he's always telling me I'm too friendly. It's like, you're too friendly. You're friendly with everybody. Everybody, I'm like, that's just the way I've been. I've been that since I was a kid. I was the one as a kid with hundreds of kids. I was always mama.
Yeah. That outspokenness made you be that way. You couldn't help yourself.
Always coming to me, always asking my advice, always when there was hard times or troubles or whatever it was, they would come to me. And I know at one time, I wasn't feeling it. I was like, you know, I'm tired of helping everybody else, and I don't get any help. Where's my help? These two girls while I was in college, these two girls on my hall, the end of the semester, came up to me and handed me two cards. Not at the same time, totally different, you know, different times. But they both basically read that I'm so glad you were here, because being able to talk to you helped me get through this semester or helped me get through this year.
Awesome.
And that alone, I didn't need anything else. I didn't have to ask any more questions. God, why am I here? That was enough to understand.
Yeah.
Wow. So he puts me where I need to be, and to help his children,
yeah,
and to give them a word. And it's
I see people. Now, you can make me see race, creed, religion, color, all of that. But on first glance, I see people. You know, I don't see those things. So
and that's how God is.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't see those things.
All the rest of that is just, you know, a way for us to separate us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the rest of that's just a way for us to separate us, not God. God's like, y'all are all the same.
Yeah. Can't you all just get along?
Exactly.
Looks like we have another guest.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Has someone else joined?
Yes. Let's see. Open their mic. Hello? Caller?
Hello.
Hello. We were just seeing if you wanted to interject anything, if you had any, wanted to say something. Caller, are you there?
They might just be listening.
Okay. All right. Well, so we just keep on going. So now, Mr. Ham, with Proverbs, like, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take? What do you think? How can you explain that to somebody where they're not going, okay, yeah, I eat the fruit, it goes into my stomach?
Are you asking anybody that question?
Yes. No. I'm asking you, Mama.
Oh. So now that translation.
Uh-huh.
What? How is it saying it again?
It says
that's in the 20th verse.
Uh huh. From the fruit.
Go ahead.
Of their mouth. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled.
A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Okay, they just twisted it the other way.
The other way. Okay.
It's saying the same thing because I was looking at it in the King's. I'm thinking that's, you know, your natural self. You know, your natural self. Okay. If you feed yourself natural food, you know, it's going to be, you know, that's kind of the first part of that to me. Your natural self is going to be filled with the fruit of what you put in your mouth. It's going to go into your belly naturally. But
okay.
The consequences of your words, what's the other part of that? How does the second part of that go?
With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to me, when it's talking about the belly, that's talking about the natural side of man. More, you know, the moral part of him.
Okay.
Filling himself in his stomach with whatever, the fruit of his, whatever he's eating. But his words, whether it's good or evil, are going to be the consequences. I mean, you can speak words. There's another passage, I think it's in the Psalm, that talks about, I'm trying to remember where that scripture is, with different things that you say, how it can bring, it brings like sickness to your body and it's rottenness to your bones. And I'm trying to think of where that scripture, and I'm sure someone on here has heard that particular passage. Where is that at? Oh, Apostle, I hear you.
Yeah, right.
I hear you. I heard you clear your voice. I knew that was you. Wait a minute. When you did that, I said, okay, Apostle Armstrong is in the house.
I like the way y'all pass the
buck. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking to your daughter. She kind of remind me of myself. Some of the things she was saying,
all
I'm
right.
like, okay.
All right. Let that last part, the first part, we're in agreement. Because
what
goes in your mouth goes into your stomach, when the belly, that would be the natural food. And then the lips, that's what comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth.
Out of your
mouth. Yeah. The lips.
Fill someone.
That's,
right. The words.
Yeah, for example,
the consequences.
I used to say that people who got on my nerves, I made them feel that they were lower than dirt. And that was what came out of my mouth, my lips. It wasn't what went into my belly.
Uh-huh.
That's the distinction between the two. The nurturing, what comes out of your, what goes in your mouth and goes in your belly, that nurtures you. And what comes out of your lips should be nurturing to other people.
Other people.
I wasn't interested in nurturing anybody. I was interested in putting people down. And that was my objective. But now my objective is to speak words that empowers you. That, because words have meaning and words have feelings. And
right.
I was concerned with the feeling part. I couldn't care about the rest of it. So now I'm concerned also about the feeling part into you. From my mouth, it nurtures you and it brings joy or understanding, or it creates in you the desire to look even further and see what is he really saying to me, as defined by the word.
Right. So that was the second part, Proverbs 18:21, where the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Yeah.
I should have known y'all was in Proverbs, the book that always creates problems for me when I was younger. Go ahead.
That's good. Probably create problems for you when you're older too, sir.
Sometimes
if we want to be real about
it.
That word shows us ourselves over and over and over again. And that's what we got to continue to die to, ourselves. Because guess what? We won't arrive until we hear him say what two words? Well done.
Well done.
I don't want to hear the part from. I want to hear well done.
Amen. And it's amazing, y'all, that when you're younger and think you got it all going and not even concerned about transitioning, you couldn't care less. I know I'll speak for myself. I couldn't care less about whether it was well done or not. I was more concerned about my enjoyment. And that's,
at the moment.
Yeah, that's how it is when we out there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was younger in college. I was Mr. Cool. My daughter, she understands. She knows.
I can look at you and tell.
I never hid.
I done told you. I knew
you
was something there.
I never hid anything from my children. I told them straight up. Y'all can't do what I did and get away with.
Yeah. Times have changed, huh?
That's right.
Yes, we did on more than one occasion.
And he was, it was always one of those, especially, again, with words. If I went up to my daddy, can I, you know, dad, I really, no, my dad would stop me mid-sentence and say no. I said, but I haven't even asked you the question yet. No, you need to learn how to come to me and ask the question and stop trying to sugarcoat it and trying to sweet talk me. No, go away. And I think God is the same way. He's like, no, you're trying to sweet talk me. Oh, I promise I'm going to do this. I promise I won't ever do this again. If you get me out of this just this one time, I won't know. You're going to have to go through it because you're trying to sweet talk me and you ain't learned nothing.
Yeah, so, you made that bed, you're going to lie in it, huh?
That's exactly. Right.
I hope it's soft. Mm.
And I told my sons the same thing. I told them straight up, y'all go out here, y'all fool around, and y'all start something to grow. You're going to accept responsibility for it, and you're going to take care of it. Even if me, you dropping out of school and you going to night school, you can get a job and you're going to take care of it. And that's what I meant.
All right.
There
yeah.
are consequences
right.
for action.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We, growing up, we knew that there was always a consequence for an action. You did it, you better be able and have a good mind of accepting those consequences, whether they were good, bad, or ugly. Even my friend
Amen.
Learned that there were consequences when you step foot into the Armstrong house. The first
I know
day,
that's right.
You were deaf. After that, you were a child like everybody else. You got the punishment, you got the rewards, you got any and everything that all the rest of the kids got, you got it too. And dared you to go home and tell your mama or your daddy or whoever. Because you know what? You don't have to tell them. I'm going to tell them that you did X, Y, and Z at my house, and this is what I did to you. So my friends loved our house because my parents were very supportive. My parents, we were grounded. We had a good foundation, and my parents treated them like children were supposed to be treated.
Yeah.
And did not differentiate between any of us. I mean, they
That's
all call my dad Papa Armstrong. Papa Armstrong and Miss Lena. So but the words that he used and he never my friends my dad didn't walk around with a stick beating them or nothing like that. But he sit us down. If we did bad, everybody got to talk. If we did something great, good, or awesome, everybody got the glory.
Amen.
And
so now I'm waiting for my reward whilst I'm here on this earth. I don't want y'all to come talking about that heaven stuff. I ain't interested. Because I read Revelation.
Well, you should be interested in both. You're going to get both. You still should want some rewards in earth, in heaven.
Okay, yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. But it's not like I'm going someplace because Revelation said
I know you're thinking about the now. You're thinking about
here.
The now.
Yes.
You're thinking
the
about
now.
The now.
Yes, ma'am.
And you need to, in the now,
N-O-W.
You still need to think about the future. In the now, you need to think about the future because all this now going to pass.
Well, that's true.
Matter of fact,
I appreciate
now
the sermon.
Has already passed into the past.
Yeah, but
that's right.
Yeah, but I preached a sermon in the early 90s, probably around 92, somewhere around that, 1992. And it was every decision is judgment day. Every decision that you make is judgment day. So if you live according to that understanding, you ain't got to worry about dying, going to heaven or anywhere else because you made the right decision at the right time as you went through this. So He's going to tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. That's what's going to happen. But whenever we want to play games with God like I used to, well, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this. Well, God, I need you to do this.
Oh,
I'm going to be good,
kind of compromise
God.
With
right.
That was the way I used to be. I have to be honest, and I'm sure people who are listening now, they went through something similar, negotiating with God, just like you negotiate
right.
with man.
Like I said, God said, no, you're going to go through it.
That's right. You made that bed, you're going to lay in it too.
That's right.
That's what the old people told me
yeah.
that boy, you made your bed hard. You got to lay in it. And then you start thinking about things before. Do I want to see this again? That was one of the decisions I made earlier on. Words have consequences. Action has consequences.
Yeah.
If I don't want to see it again, I don't do it. If I could figure out how I could do it and possibly not see it again, I might have tried it. And if I got away with it, then that was gravy. But I didn't push it to the limit. I didn't keep pushing it because eventually you're going to pay. And that's what I saw whenever I was hanging out. And that eventually people pay. You're going to pay the consequences of your actions.
Oh, yeah. You have to pay to play. No matter what game you're playing, you still got to pay for it. Now,
that's what Amplified says in that 20th verse of the 18th, Proverbs 18. It says, a man's self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequence of his words. He must be satisfied, whether good or evil.
Yeah, now that's true. That is true. you have to
in life or in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. When I was in school, I was in this lit class. And we were reading this one book or this short story. But no, listen. We were reading this short story. And it was about Apocalypse Now is the movie, but Up the Congo is the book. And this company guy had went up the Congo, and he was supposed to be out there, you know, rape, robbing, and pillaging the land for the company. And at a certain point, they stopped getting any communications from him. So they sent another one up there. So the second one gets up there, and he gets off the boat, and the first guy isn't there, but a photographer or a reporter is. And the reporter says, oh, my goodness, you missed it. And the guy's like, well, what did I miss? He's like, he said something so profound that I can't even explain. It's just so profound. He's like, okay, so what did he say? And what he said was, in the middle of life, there is if. In the middle of the word life, F-E, there is if.
There is if.
If I do this, this will happen. If I do something else, this will happen. is the secret to life, is if. If I follow the right path, then I will be on the right path no matter what, no matter where I am. No matter when I end my life, I am always going to be on the right path if I follow the right path. If I decide to go a different way, then I will be on that path. But I can always, there's always an if, always change what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, who I'm doing it with, what I'm saying, because there's an if. There's if I do this, this will happen. I have that ability to make that change and get on that right path, to make that change, to speak those words of encouragement, to get on that path, to feel love when love is given. I have the ability of that. So in the middle of the word life, there is if. And that's the only thing I got out of that lit class. All the rest of that, I don't even remember. But that was that was the important thing I got out of that.
That was a nugget right there, all by itself.
I didn't need any more.
Yes, I'm in the middle of life.
So I've always thought that whenever I felt like I'm not on the right path or I'm doing something that, man, I don't need to be doing this. Okay, so I have a chance to change this. I don't have to stay this way. I don't have to do it this way. Because if I change it, I will get a better outcome, a different outcome. A more loving outcome.
Know what scripture it took me to? If. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I kept hearing. If my people, whose people, who are talking there, which are called by my name, my, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Those who call by his name humble themselves first, then pray, then seek his face, then turn from the wicked ways, not until those four things are done, then he will hear from heaven, will forgive the sin, the wickedness, or whatever, and will heal the land. I said, if. My. She just stirred something up here.
Yeah.
In the middle of life. That is powerful. You would have me thinking about that one all week.
I'm telling you that I've been out of school for a long time, and that is the only thing that sticks with me. I mean, and I did all kinds of math and science and engineering, and I did all kinds of stuff, but that. That it was mind blowing. That brought everything full circle for me, and made me realize that wow, life is an if I do this, this will happen. I need to be on the right path. I need to make the right decisions, and if I don't. I shouldn't beat myself up and try to hurt myself or anybody else. Why? Because I can change it. I can just say, okay, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to do something different.
You know what I remember? What I remember from from high school, only I remember that I made a lamp. That I made a lamp in Sharp, and I plugged it in, and it lit up. Now that's one of the things. I remember two things from high school. Well, three. The third one was sort of negative. The other one that I remember, I played trombone in a band. I remember at a band clinic, district band clinic, they stuck me into, I played first trombone at the band clinic. Now, I'm a third trombone player in the high school band, and I literally felt myself coming out of the bell or that instrument and filling that room, that was a spiritual experience for me. Now, those two. The third one, we used to take the activity bus across the state lines and drink them up, and we didn't get caught. If we would have got caught with the activity bus in South Carolina, we would have went to jail. Those were the three things that I remember from high school. Rest of it, I don't remember.
Wow. That's funny.
That was life.
Life. But if.
That's true. Yeah, God was with me through all of that.
Well, it is like almost time to wrap this up.
No, it's not time to wrap it up. 32 minutes, and you have two new people called in since I called in.
Oh. I thought your show was only an hour long. It's an hour and a half?
Yes.
Well, sometimes I have to drop off, which I'm going to probably have to drop off because I need to get to the store before it gets dark.
All right.
So I may drop off. I may keep it on, but I may not be able to say anything.
Someone else
was on and they dropped off, wasn't they, Sanja?
Mm-hmm.
Someone else
was
on earlier and I think they dropped off. It was a man.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yeah, well he drops off anyway, so don't worry about that one.
Oh, okay. Well, if I don't get to say it was nice talking with you and being co-hosting with you, Ms. Cunningham.
Yes, nice meeting you too and being on with you. I'm going to stay on. Unless my phone drops off, I may not be able to say anything. I'm going to stay on.
Okay. Good evening, new people to the line. This is an open mic. If you have anything to say or you wanted to express anything that we've been talking about or have any kind of discussion about words and how they affect your life and other people's lives, you're more than welcome to chime in at any time. No comments.
I'm glad to be on. And the word "if" covers a lot because if in my life, if I had listened to a counsel from somebody, if I'd have took their counsel, I would not be back with my husband and my family would not be together with their dad. So that if would have been a mistake in my life if I would have took that if and listened to that. So where I didn't take that counsel and listen to that, I would not have my family back with their father and I wouldn't have my husband back in our lives. So I thank God that ill. Hello? My precious niece. So if can cause a lot of things to happen. You know, if that's just, you know, it can cause a lot of things to happen in your life. You know, and I thank God for someone saying you bringing that up if, because that can cause things to happen to cause you to have a lot of things in your life to change.
This is true.
Listen to that. It would have knocked me out a lot of things in my life if I would have took that counsel where she thought it was right. Me, you know, it would have been wrong for me to take that counsel, so I didn't take it. And through that, me not taking that counsel, I'm blessed. And I thank God for that. I'm thankful that I helped, you know, that if, you know.
the good thing about it is at whatever point, whenever you get to a point where you say, you know what, this is not good for me, what if I do something else? You can change your mind and go do something else.
Yes. That's right.
And get back on the path that you're supposed to be on.
On the path that I was supposed to be on. And I'm on the right path that I'm supposed to be on because different blessings came my way and my children, my family's way, you know.
Thank
so I'm thankful for that, and because I didn't listen, you in my life. The Armstrongs are in my life. I was able to see you again. I was able to see the Armstrong family again. Where if I would have listened, I would not have got to see the Armstrong family again. So thank God, I'm thankful.
You know. And I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank God.
I've always enjoyed your presence, Auntie. Have always. You have always put a smile on my face.
Yours too. Mine too.
I'm glad too. I'm glad I can embrace you.
Praise God, sign you. You too. So, you know, if you get a lot of ifs and out loud,
we have to take the right path. We must take the right path. So I'm thankful. So I'm glad you brought up if. We always can make the right path. We can always make the right
path. Yes.
We can. And even if we make the wrong ones, we don't have to beat ourselves up.
Right.
We can pick ourselves up with making a different choice.
We can make a different choice.
And that's what so many of us in this world need to understand, that no matter what we're going through right now, this too shall pass.
If I
decide to change what I'm doing and do the right things.
Because I've made some wrong ones, but you don't have to stay on that wrong path. You can change and get on the right.
Yes. And then once we're on the right path, our words can bring others to that path too. Can show them.
That's right. Thank God.
I believe that so firmly.
Yes.
Like I was saying earlier, I talked to so many when I was working. I talked to so many different younger people, and I've heard all kinds of stories from mental to physical abuse to. Just everything. I've heard it. Sexual abuse, all of it. And they would come in my office and they would just sit down in my office, and not just females, males in my office busting out in tears, crying over what's going on in their lives. And I would just sit there and I would let them get it out and you know, go ahead, say everything. And then I'd say, listen, you have to be responsible for some of this. You have
to be
responsible for the fact that you keep allowing this to happen. You keep allowing this. You're going through this. You have to make a decision to change what you're doing. Change who you talk to. Change how you do something. Just a little change. You'll see that. A door, the next door will be open, the next door will be open, the next door will be open, the next, and you will find that God has already laid the path for you. Path is already there. All he's asking for you to is get off of your behind and start walking.
Walking.
Just as hard, you know, walk, crawl, do something. Make a move in that direction.
Right direction.
That's
right.
All he asks. And he, he will carry you. You can lean on him. You can walk beside him. No, but he's always going to be there. But he got you. And that's all that, that's all that they need to, people need to understand. You just don't know how lost. I mean, how really, really lost they are. How lost. And I sit there and I used to sit there and just be like, okay, you know, we're gonna get through this. No matter what this is, we're gonna get through it. But I've always tried to be very, I tried not to be judgmental.
Right.
And understood that the words that I, if you're too judgmental, people are not listening. They tune you out.
Right. That's right.
So you have to take people for who they are, where they are, and that's how you talk to them. You can't, you cannot claim to be so godly and then judge another one for their faults when we all know you have faults too.
That's right.
You have to understand that people only know and can only do what they know and only know what was given to them, what was taught to them.
That's true.
And if you can show them and teach them a different way of looking at something, a different way of achieving something, open their eyes to something different and positive.
Right.
And show them how God can just carry you through.
Right.
It's it is
Well, I just give them Jesus. Just give them Jesus. All you need is Jesus. God, I just give you Jesus. And the people used to say that to me. And I look at them, I smile. They hurry up and get out of my face. I don't want to hear that. And people have
to. You can't grab people so bad. You can't grab them. They already down. You can't beat them all the way down to the ground. You have to have compassion for them. You tell them the truth, but have compassion too. You know.
Yeah, and then they told me how I'm dying and going to hell.
At least you're not going to hell on a jet.
No. Oh, God.
And I ain't never seen no devil. He had on red neotards. He had a pitchfork, and he had horns. I ain't never seen no devil, so I ain't worried.
No,
so that's what the devil looks like.
He's looking just like us. Ain't got all that on.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, goodness. Oh, Lord.
And the devil's sitting up there right beside me smiling. Yep, I got you. You looking for me old yonder. Here I am. I got you, buddy.
He ain't gonna come looking like that. He'll come looking like you.
No, they'll come looking cuter than him.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Oh, that's something, though. Oh, Lord.
Oh. Yes, but yeah. I mean, I have been God has put me in all these different places. A lot of my friends call me a gypsy because I go from one place to another place to another place.
But you know how to get across to the people.
Yeah. Right. And I, like I said earlier, a couple of my friends in college gave me cards at the end of the year and was like, you know, I'm so glad you were here for me. Because if you hadn't been, I don't know what I would have done. And that at that point, again, I realized, okay, God, wherever you send me, all right, you know, I'm good. If you need me to go here, I'm going to go there. If you want me to go there, I'm going to go there. You want me to speak to this person, I'll speak to them. I mean, and it's even people that I can barely understand. Like, my Spanish is, but I've had Hispanic men, women come in my store and just bust out in tears over what's going on in their life, their kids, their spouses, their parents. And I just sit there and listen. And I give them a kind word and tell them, you know, don't ever give up because, you know, you've already conquered whatever it is you're going through because you see it, you faced it, and you're dealing with it. So you're already on the other side. All you have to do is keep going.
Keep going.
You know,
it's
already there. You've already done the hard part. Just just keep going. You can overcome this.
Lord Jesus.
And God is always there.
He's there. Yes, he is.
He never lets you. He never leaves you by yourself.
That's right.
See, y'all go again talking that God talk. And like now, I'm going through what I'm going through. People, just give them Jesus. Oh, you need to pray harder. Oh, you need to do this. They don't lift a darn finger to come by and say, can I help you? Can I do this for you? You just need to pray harder. I'm sick of it. And I'm a retired pastor.
I was down there.
I'm sick of it.
But that's
different. You can tell people.
Anytime you call and ask me for whatever it is you need, I try to. If I can't do it, I try to figure out a way to get it done for you, Dad. And that's with most people. I know.
Yeah, but I'm talking about them other people. Just give them Jesus, and then you never see them anymore. You could come by and just sit down and just have a conversation. But no, I'm too godly for that.
No, they supposed to come by and see them, Auntie.
And again, that's why there's that if, so they can get back on the right path. not on the right path. They're definitely not. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I always, even when I tell you the people that I've, the kids that I've dealt with, I still hit them up. I'll text them, how you doing today? How are the kids? I'll give them a call, or I'll instant message them, or I'll go on Facebook or whatever. I'll still touch bases with them just to make sure that everything is okay. Hey, you know, if you need anything, you know, you all right? Everything okay? Yeah, but my dude, he always thinks, he says I'm too friendly. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's the way I've always been.
It's just personality. Yes.
And he's always like, yeah, but people today will try to, I'm like, yeah, I'm not, I don't worry about people. I know God has me. I know no matter what I go through, God has me. Whenever I need, he provides. Oh, my goodness. I've had people, this one man had lost his wallet at my store, and it was around Christmas time. And I was like, okay, he never came back. So I looked at his ID, and I found he's just around the corner. So I take it back to the house, and I knock on the door, and the lady comes to the door, and she just looks at me, and I'm like, hi. She's like, no, no, no. I'm like, and I pull out his wallet, and I show her, and she's like, oh, okay, hold on a minute, because she's on the phone. So she comes to the door, and she says, where did you find it? I said, ma'am, it's been sitting on my desk at Circle K, and I've been hoping he would come back through, and he never did, so I decided to come and find you guys and give it back to him. And she was like, oh, my goodness. So I said, all right. She said, no, stay right there. I said, okay. I figured she was going to hang up the phone and come and say thank you, thank you. She came, walked back to me and was like, here, take this. I was like, no, ma'am. I said, this is just, I do this. This is not, no, I don't want. She's like, no, you take this. You're a blessing to us. Let us be a blessing to you. And I looked at her and I said, yes, ma'am. And I took it. I took the money from her. She blessed me with $100. I was like, well, that was fantastic. I mean, I didn't count it until I got in the car, but I was shocked. But we needed the extra money. So God always.
Yeah. He takes care.
Always takes care. Always.
Brother, we're going to have to make a trip to just come by your house and see about you. Even though we live up here in Illinois. We're going to have to come by and check on.
He don't want me to come down. He don't want me to come up.
We're going to have to come by and see about brother. Yes. That's the way y'all Christians are. Well, we're going to come by and see about you. Are you still there?
He's still there. He's just probably doing something else. As usual.
He just pulled. That's all.
He got a lot on his shoulder. He's got a lot on his shoulder. And I'm at the head.
He just pulled. You right. I know he did not know that this was going to happen today.
I know he did not.
Did not.
Okay.
He probably gonna wish he, because earlier today he said he wasn't sure he's gonna be able to join in. He probably later on he probably gonna say, I shouldn't have joined in.
He'll be all right.
Love you, Apostle. Love you, Apostle.
Oh, boy.
That's right.
Hey, Sonja.
Right. He made the...
Sonja.
Yes,
so
yes,
you remember the beginning I told you. You remember at the beginning I told you. I can't even get it out. It'll come back to me in a minute. Woo! Oh, my gracious.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah, these words of love. That's all it is. Come on, Apostle. Speak up,
right.
Man of God. Speak up, man of God.
He's still ain't saying nothing. Like I told you, you know what? He's probably on his other phone. Got this one
he
muted and talking on the other phone.
He might be. That's probably what it is.
He says, yeah, they got it. They good. They'll be all right. They on the right path. They'll be all right.
Yeah, we on the right path. But if it's good to hear you today, Sonja, it's so good.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Doing much,
now,
much
are you
better.
On
much,
Saturday?
Much better. Ma'am?
Are you on every Saturday?
No, this is Dad's show.
Oh, okay.
This is Dad's show. He was actually one of my cousins was coming into town, and he didn't know he had to go meet him someplace.
Okay.
One of my mom's nephew on my mom's side, and he was coming to town, and he didn't know if he could start it. So I told him I would do it. So, yeah, whenever he, I just fill in now. I need to go ahead and start back with my own. I used to have one. When he started acquiring so many more people, I felt like I didn't want to stop, you know, because we only have we have a certain amount of slots for our guests. I mean, for our hosts, and I didn't want me to have a slot and somebody else wouldn't. So
okay. Well, I'm so glad because and he said the girls are on or something. He said, and so I just turned in. So I'm so glad I did. So glad. Oh, I'm so. Well, wouldn't you think you'll be back this way? You make sure you let me know.
Yes, ma'am. When I come up there, I don't know if it'll be, you know, with the winter the way it's been going, I'm not going.
No.
I don't want to go northeast at all.
No.
What was it? I'm trying to wait for it to get some spring where it's not the weather isn't so bad.
Yes, because
it's a long trip. Yeah.
And
I don't, if I fly, I don't want to be stranded.
No, don't even chance. Don't take a chance. Yeah.
So
okay,
it'll probably be
every 2 let us know.
All right, yes, ma'am. Yeah. I
love you.
I love you all too.
Well, I'm going to tune out now, okay?
All right.
Okay, baby.
Later.
Okay. Uh-huh, later. Bye-bye.
Oh, okay. So, again, we were focusing on Proverbs 18:20-21. And in the international version, it reads, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied.
The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I know some of that and from the King James Version, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. The harvest of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we need to understand that words give life and words takes life away. So we need to fill ourselves with the positive words, positive things, so that our harvest that comes out to other people yields greatly, that we can speak to others in a way that brings them closer to the Most High, and show them the right path. And like I said, in the middle of life, there is if. If I do this, this will happen. If I do that, that will happen in the middle of life. L-I-F-E, if, is there. So if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or if I'm not doing what I should be doing, I can always change and do the right thing. I say shalom to everyone. This is Crown Talking Drum. And Sandra, filling in for Apostle Armstrong. This has been Words That Work. Have a great, wonderful evening and a wonderful week. Shalom.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom.